Hi, everyone, and welcome to 99% Effective, the Sarah Solutions podcast. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tisha Tremontano-Kelly. I am the owner of TTK358 Consulting, and joining me today is my new co-host, George Reed Perry. Hi, George.
Hey, everyone. How are you? I am George Reed Perry. I am the Senior Director of Adult Services at Sarah Inc., and I'm happy to join you guys for 99% Effective.
I'm so happy you're joining me. I'm looking forward to, our future and doing this podcast and getting as much information out to families as possible. So thank you and welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
So, George, what are we going to be talking about today?
Yeah, so some of the things that have been coming up are really about how we're keeping our family safe, how we're going out into the community, and what we can do. You know, COVID certainly has been going on for a very long period of time. And I think all of us are starting to figure out what's the best way for us to kind of navigate our community. So we thought it would be a good time to kind of recap some of the things that have been going well, some tips and tricks that we've learned, and, you know, hopefully share that with everyone listening.
That's great. I mean, I think it's so important. Like you said, what do they call it? COVID tired. People are just exhausted. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, no one thought we would be still talking about this almost a year later. It's pretty amazing. We're here, but we're surviving. So we thought we would just talk about some things, like you said, that have worked and moving forward, you know, some more things to continue with to help your family stay safe.
Yeah. You know, I think to your point, the COVID tiredness or the COVID fatigue, I think we all certainly know more than we ever thought we would. I think it's a perfect time for us to kind of talk about what we're going to be doing and, you know, get some feedback from everyone out there on, you know, what's worked for you, what's worked for your family.
It's funny when I talk to my kids who are all young adults, they're all between the ages of 22 and 25. And to them, you know, wearing a mask, it is no big deal to them. I may be like, oh, I'm so tired of this. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't even faze us. And we think about that, and it's definitely changed some habits. And I think there's some good habits out there. I think probably the hand washing and the sanitizer for the younger kids, I think this has been a great opportunity for a lot of parents to say, here's some of the reasons why you have to wash your hands. And stuff's been out there about hand washing, but now some of the materials out there for any age is amazing now. You know, some of our state agencies have come up with some great graphics and about hand sanitizer and masks and, you know, washing your hands and being safe.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, your point about kids and teaching them, you know, I know for my daughter, who's a first grader, I think that she's probably a pro at washing her hands now and mm-hmm. wearing the mask. I think having all the fun designs on them and really talking about what you can do to help others has really helped her kind of over this past year at such a young age, really think, okay, I'm going to do this because I want to see my grandparents
right.
again.
Exactly.
And hand washing is just one of those things I think we're all taught. If you can't wash your hands, what's the next best option? And having hand sanitizer out there, you know, I think it's really helped us in many ways really teach kids from a very young age on, like, these are the things that you should do.
Like I said, it's been a great opportunity to have these conversations about hygiene and things like that. And I look back now with my son, who was diagnosed, it was back then, it was PDD-NOS, which they don't use anymore. But on the autism spectrum, you know, hygiene was an issue for us when he was younger, when he was in elementary school. And this has been a great opportunity for parents to have that conversation with their kids and show them different animated posters and things like that, that they'll understand. And I look back and say, wow, I wish I had some of these graphics when my son was younger. And I think it would have been a much easier conversation for us to have.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we've all been looking forward to doing is really getting back out there to, you know, the museums and, you know, being able to kind of visit those with friends. And, you know, so many of those places now are going to have hand sanitizer and reminders to, you know, really wash your hands. So I think those are going to be some of the really great takeaways from this, you know, mm-hmm. as we look to going back out and enjoying, you know, time with our friends and family.
Right. So, and I agree. I think, you know, you think about all those hands-on places, those museums that our kids love, and we encourage that. And that's how, you know, how they learn. And they have the hand sanitizer stations right there as you're walking in and walking out, and even the grocery stores. I don't think those things are ever going to go away. So it's definitely changed a lot in our communities, but I think it's all for good.
Yeah, you know, and I think it made us think, you know, what are some of those things that we probably should have been doing before? You know, I think all of us think, man, a lot of people touch these grocery carts. Were they routinely being cleaned before? You never know. You'd like to think they were. But I think now that's definitely something that we'll say, you know what, we should just keep this.
And I think that's what's going to happen. You know, you, like you said, you think about the, you know, and I know a lot of the parents have those new things they put when the babies, it's like the cover that covers the seating part where the kids sit in the grocery basket. But when you have kids that are a little bit older and they're touching everything and their nose is running and they, you know, but even the gas pumps, you know, we've never thought about washing your hands directly because usually you're going to the gas station, you're filling up and you're going somewhere else. So now I have hand sanitizer in my car. So at the gas station, I just use the hand sanitizer until I can go somewhere and wash my hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I'll be interested to see is how the schools have really pulled in a lot of that to help the kids learn these are things that we should be doing, you know, and I think the schools certainly play a huge part into this, whether it's with the younger kids or with the older kids of how are we, number one, talking about safety in the school, but then, you know, how are they helping the kids with some of the tougher things of not being able to see all their friends? I know we've done a number of virtual play dates to keep that engagement. And when it was warm, you could, you know, be outside and, you know, spend some time with people from a safe distance. You know, I think that's going to be that next thing that we transition to as we kind of proceed through the winter into the spring again.
Right. Oh, absolutely. It's definitely changed how people just do things. It's just going to be different. You know, just for example, when the kids have a snow day, I mean, that in the neighborhood, that is big time for the kids to get together and make a snowman and make snow angels. And, you know, as parents, we have to rethink all that because the kids sometimes they get excited and, you know, they don't know that 6 foot distance all the time because they want to see their friends and give them a hug. So just something simple like a snow day can absolutely change. So it's having that kind of a conversation with your kids.
Absolutely. You know, I think we're all very much social creatures, even though some of us like to spend a little bit more time to ourselves. I think after a period of time, you really have that want for, okay, I want to have that connection with my friends and I want to be able to see family, or I just simply want to go out to a restaurant and, you know, not cook at home again. So, you know, I think we're certainly looking forward to, you know, as we start rounding the corner of, you know, what are the things that we can do now to keep us safe? But, you know, moving forward, what are some of those things that are going to be lasting? And then what else is going to help us?
What are some of the things, George, that people can do, or how do they get that information? Because there's so much information out there. And what is, you know, I'm sure people are overwhelmed, like, what is correct? What do I do? What's my best option?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a very good point. And, you know, we are hearing lots of information. So with the announcement this past winter of, you know, the two vaccines that are available now, one being through Pfizer and one being Moderna, people are really starting to ask, okay, how can I get this? Am I eligible? Will I be eligible? You know, what does that timeline look like? And the information that's available right now really says that this is a state decision, and they're really trying to push that information out so that the general public can get that. You know, for example, I know right now in Connecticut, we're in the 1B phase. And the 1B phase really talks about, okay, we have people who are 75 years of age and older who are available to get this vaccination, whether it be through Pfizer or Moderna. And one of the things I think of when I think of, you know, sometimes the older generation is, how are they going to get this information? So are they getting this from their primary care doctor, or do they have a family member who's helping them navigate this? So, you know, one of the things I think is really good that the state's doing is putting out this information in those common places, whether it be, you know, health providers or someone's participating through a town senior center and they're sending out that information. What I've seen is that they can call in, which I think is a really helpful option, through a vaccine appointment assistance line. And that's available Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30 p.m. So, you know, that's a really great way for seniors who are 75 and older to register, but in a way that they're more comfortable doing. I think that's a really great step in the direction and making sure that, you know, we can assist those who need that. So, you know, as that information comes out, it'll be really important for families to go to the State of Connecticut website, reach out to their community providers to really get that information. And if you have questions about the vaccine or and whether or not you should get that, you should definitely reach out to your primary care doctor or a healthcare professional for that information.
Right. And the other thing is the VAMS website that a lot of people are hearing about. Yeah. And I actually did it personally for my parents who are over 75. It wasn't that difficult. Once you just like slow down and read everything, you know, it's really well thought out of how they're getting that information out to you. And you just have to have patience because you have to remember a lot of people are trying to get their loved ones set up. So I think I started the process on a Friday. And then I finally, it was like that Wednesday, I got the last email saying, yep, you're all set. You could go in and register and get your appointment. And I actually was lucky enough to get an appointment the next day for them. But it's because you put in how many miles apart of where you want to go for the vaccine and it lists them all. Then you just go down and it tells you when they're available. But that's constantly changing. So people need to be aware that it's a very fluid program. So you just have to have patience and go in and maybe even check once an hour and it is going to change.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, that's some really good advice because I think there's always confusion when something is new and it's rolled out of, you know, hey, I followed the steps and it doesn't seem to be working. Mm-hmm. You know, I think having patience like we've had to show this whole time is going to be really important for people. So whether they're using the online system through VAMS or they're calling in through the assistance line of, you know, make sure you're patient. The call doesn't get answered right away. Just kind of stick with it because I think that's going to really be what helps people kind of get through this process, especially if they're looking for the vaccination and to go through that route.
Right. And I've talked to some people in the surrounding states and comparably Connecticut's doing a really good job at getting the vaccine out.
Yeah. Yeah. I read some information that said that Connecticut was one of seven states that had reached about 10% of their population getting vaccinated. So, you know, I think given the size of Connecticut, that's a really high watermark for them to hit. Yeah. And it sounds like we're all things are running pretty smoothly. I think we all expect some hiccups at some point.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely nice to see that, you know, those who are seeking the vaccination are certainly getting it.
And this is a good time for us to remind listeners that they can receive up-to-date information and resources on local and state guidelines at all different kind of websites. You know, the CDC, their town website, town health departments, government websites, DPH, community health providers. From what I'm seeing is they really are keeping it up to date. It is changing constantly. And Connecticut is extremely lucky to have 211. That's an amazing program in the state of Connecticut. So remember, you could always go to 211 if you have questions.
Absolutely. And 211 is a great resource, whether you're looking to get information on the vaccination or you're looking to get tested. They're providing that resource to everyone who calls, making sure that they have the correct information, because I think that's going to be paramount as people try to filter through what's available. So, you know, definitely reaching out to 211 if you would not want to use that phone in option.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they're so helpful. The 211 staff are amazing. I've been working with them for years and they really are an amazing group of people and they're well-trained. So it's a great resource. You know, just moving forward, we still don't know. It's great that the vaccine's rolling out, but let's face it, it's not like the movies where the vaccine's out and 24 hours later, everything's back to normal. This is still going to be a process and we still have to have patience. And we have to remember, you know, there's still ways to stay engaged and focus on positive mental health. So what are some of the things, George, that you are planning on doing with your own family to kind of stay in the zone until we really are over the hump?
I think one of the things that we found really helpful is spending as much time as we possibly could outside, depending on what the weather looks like, you know, and not being afraid to go check out your local park, or if you live along the shoreline, for example, check out the beach, or if you're inland a little bit more, there's lots of parks within Connecticut, and that's a great resource. But, you know, with the weather getting a little bit colder, I think what are things that you really enjoy doing? Do you guys like doing game nights or do you like puzzles? We've done a lot of painting at my house of our walls and then, you know, of things that we like to do, getting lots of crafts and painting anything and everything we can, finding fun things that, you know, individually you like to do. But then what do you like to do as a group?
Right. And a reminder that, you know, you can listen to some of our past podcasts because we have a lot of great information on those in the show notes. And we're going to do the same thing for this one. And earlier today, I was looking up easy craft ideas. And when you think of arts and crafts, you're like, oh, that's, you know, but there's some really fun, creative crafts that you can just use with materials in your home. So we're going to definitely share that website I found and some other helpful links, even to state and local things that we can help you with. You know, but spending time with family virtually, especially in this weather, with your grandparents, make a cup of hot chocolate and say, let's have a hot chocolate date, or let's watch this movie at the same time on Sunday. Or if we can't watch it at the same time, watch this movie and then let's talk about it in a couple days. There are ways to engage for sure. And you just have to be staying creative. And the past year has shown how resilient we are as a community and as families, and how resilient our kids are. I have to say, I'm amazed at the kids. Even the kids I see in the grocery store, they're young, they're 3 or 4 years old, walking around with their mask on. I'm like, that's awesome to see, you know? And it gives me hope that we're gonna be together as a community and we are gonna get through this.
I know one of the other things you see a lot is those high school students who still have been able to keep their jobs. I think that's a really important thing, that you see those students out there, they're working in the grocery store, they're really providing a vital resource to a lot of people right now. And for them to be able to manage, I'm going to keep my job, I'm still going to go to school, whether it's virtual or in person, the hybrid option, that's going to be really important. And I think that's something that with families with older kids, they're wondering, okay, how do I keep my older kids engaged? What are the things that they can do with second, third, fourth grade kids? And now I have kids that are going into 8th, 9th, 10th, those really important years. And I think it's about families being able to have that conversation of, yeah, this is a really tough time. And what are we going to do? Really leaning on each other. Because when we talk about that family unit and being able to have those conversations, you want to be able to have that with your older kids just as much as you want to have that with your younger kids who may not understand it as much.
Absolutely. And there's so much out there. And if you do see your kids struggling, reach out for help. You don't have to do this alone. Our mental health is so important. And we are seeing some not great stories about people struggling with their mental health during the pandemic. And you don't have to do this alone. And all the doctors and therapists, they're doing everything over Zoom now. So you could still have a great appointment with your doctor, your primary care doctor, your pediatricians, your mental health professionals. So reach out.
Absolutely. And again, to our earlier point, that's where 211 can play a really big role for people of, I don't know where that resource is, or I don't have that type of doctor. Oh, 211 is another great resource for you to kind of get all of that information. It's kind of one-stop shopping within the state of Connecticut.
Absolutely.
For
Absolutely.
Those resources. Those are the things that, we really want people to remember of. This has been a really long period of time, and we want to stay engaged, and we want to keep our minds moving and stay healthy so that when we do get to the other side of this, we can say, man, that was difficult, but these are all the great things that came about from it. Looking back at, the hand washing that's going to stick with us, or I learned this new hobby and I'm really happy about that. People have started businesses. I think, to your point, the creativity and the resiliency of everyone out there is really what helps us kind of move on and kind of get through this together.
Right. I think the creativity has been amazing. Some of the things that people are doing that they've been wanting to do for years, that they never had the time, and they had it now. So they are being creative and doing things and starting new hobbies and photography. And so share that stuff, especially if you're on social media, share all the positive things that are going on. We could all use more positivity. I also want to remind people that as we are, seeing more things open up, which is great, but remember, still do what you feel is best for you and your family. If that's keeping your kid home, still doing distant learning, and if that's what you feel comfortable with because you're a multi-generational family, a home, then do what feels best for you. You have to go with your gut, and the light is at the end of the tunnel. It's okay to still do what you feel is the best. If you still need to feel cautious, then that's fine.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point, that we definitely want to make sure that we all have access to good information. But at the end of the day, my decision for my family might be different than the decision for your family. And I think we're all trying to figure out how to navigate this together, and how do we stay safe, and how do we get back to what, quote unquote, was normal for us. But at the same time, you don't want to jump the gun. You want to make sure that, yeah, absolutely, I want to be able to enjoy the spring, and I want to enjoy the summer, and we want to go to the beach, and we want to go to the movies again. I think we all miss those, although it's nice to have movies go directly to your house now. not all of it is bad. I would prefer to stay at home and watch movies, but we have to make those decisions for ourselves and do what we feel is right for our family.
Absolutely. You know, I know we talked about a lot, but I think in summary, it's just, you know, look back at the positive things, because there was a lot. And moving forward, as more things are happening with the vaccine rollout, look for the information, because it's updating and changing every day. So just make sure you're on top of the current information. And I think the state has been really good about making sure they're up to date with it daily. And again, if you're not sure, 211. You know, we'll circle back to that. I think that's really important. And it's really important, again, your positive mental health, self-care, be creative, reach out for help if you need it, and continue to make those decisions that you think are best for your family.
And I think one of the things that people will have that's a great resource is, you know, listening to some of the other podcasts that we've put out there. You know, what information did I miss? What are some things that I want to do with my family, but I don't remember what that resource was? Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, people will really find us as a valuable resource, you know, and you know, how widely available we are across all the platforms is really important. So whether you're using, you know, our Sarah Inc. website at www.sarah-inc.org or Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, an Amazon or Alexa-enabled device, or Stitcher, I think that's really important. You know, how are you getting that information, and having it widely available is really important.
Right. And we're constantly trying to add new platforms as well. So we even have a bigger reach. But I just want to say to everybody, you know, thanks for joining us. And we hope you continue to join us. We're going to try to always have something new and updated and good information and resources for you. And, you know, we just want you to stay safe, stay happy, and stay healthy.
Absolutely. And if you have questions for us, definitely reach out to the podcast. You can find us at Sarah Solutions. At Sarah, SARAH-INC.org.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.